Today's year in the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Ches. We begin towards the bottom of Lamed Zayin Omid Beis at the Mishnah, two lines from the bottom. The Mishnah begins, Birchas Kohanim Ketzet. Since we were talking that Birchas Kohanim had to be said in Hebrew, so now we're going to explore some dinim today about duchening, about Birchas Kohanim. We know that this is a great mitzvah that the Kohanim have to duchen, and there are different customs as to when this is done. Amongst Ashkenazim and Chutz La'aretz, the common custom is to only do this on days that we have tremendous simcha, which is Shlosh Regalim. So on the first and last days of both Pesach and Sukkos, and on Shavuos, in Chutz La'aretz, Ashkenazim Duchen. Amongst the Svardim and Chutz La'aretz, as well as almost all in Eretz Yisrael, there's duchening every single day. Our mission is going to discuss again some of the dinim. So Birchas Kohanim Ketzet. How do we do the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim of Duchening? So B'medina, which means outside of the Beis HaMikdash itself, the custom is to do it in three separate statements. The Psukim Yivarecha Hashem V'yishmarecha, Yer Hashem Ponov Elecha V'yichuneko, Yisa Hashem Ponov Elecha V'yasein L'chol Shalom. These three separate Psukim are each considered a separate bracha. So B'medina Omer Oso Shalosh Brachos. And the Tzibur answers Amen after the reciting of each Pasuk. U'B'mikdash, however, in the Beis HaMikdash, bracha achas, recited as one bracha. Furthermore, B'mikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, Omer Es Hashem, they pronounce the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud Ke Vav Ke. This is not the way we normally pronounce the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We use the shame of Adnos, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Ado, and then we say Noi. So the person normally says the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Adnos. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, they actually said it and spelled out as the Yud Ke Vav Ke, sounding it out. As we turn to Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, Kich Savo, Rashi says, with the spelling of the Yud Kei Vav Kei pronounced. However, Ubi Dina, outside the Beis HaMikdash, we say Bikinuya, which Rashi explains, which is using the pronunciation of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is known as the pronunciation of Adnos. Ado Shem, right? We say the full name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, never as Yud Kei Vav Kei, but we always pronounce it when we say the Shem of Hashem as Adnos, Ado Shem. Now, another difference is B'medina, in the areas outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Kohanim nosim esidem kineged kisveim. The Kohanim raise their hands when they duchen to the shoulder level. They don't raise it above their heads, they raise it to the shoulder level. We'll see at the end of the Mishnah, it says, this is all based upon the pasuk, Vayisa Aaron es yodav el lo'om vayivarechem. Aaron raised his hands when he gave the brachos to Klal Yisrael. So this is the way that the Kohanim for all future are going to bless Klal Yisrael. However, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they don't raise their hands above their shoulders. It's satisfying this idea of raising the hands to do it to the shoulder level. However, U'b'mikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, al gabe roshem, they raise the hands above their heads. This could be more cover to the Shechina, as Rashi points out, in Kineged Kesveim, Mesh Tzorach Nisiyas Kapayim, there has to be elevated hands. That's why Duchen is called Nisiyas Kapayim. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the next Rashi, U'b'mikdash, he says, L'mal me roshem, M'mesh mevorchem esha'om, b'shem ha'mefarish. They're using the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei to bless the people, U'shechina l'mal mikshari esbiosem, and the Shechina is above their fingers, so they raise the fingers above their heads. Okay, difference again between duchening in the Beis HaMikdash and duchening every place else. The Mishnah continues and says there's one exception to this rule in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim raise their hands above their heads. That's with the exception of the Kohen Gadol. Chutz mi Kohen Gadol. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol, Sheinu Magbi Es Yadav Lemala, I mean, that's it. The Kohen Gadol is wearing the, what is called the frontlet, the plate that says Kodesh Lashem on his forehead, which is the shame of Hashem, and it's improper that they should raise their hands above the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. So every Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash raises his hands high above their head, except the Kohen who keeps it below the level of the tzitz. Now, that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, that even in the Beis HaMikdash, Av Kohen Gadol Magbi Yodav L'mala Ben HaTzitz, that the Kohen Gadol also has the right to go and raise his hands above the tzitz, because this is the way that duchening is done in the Beis HaMikdash. And even though he's wearing the tzitz and it says Kodesh Lashem on it, nevertheless, his hands are signifying that the Shechina is above the hands, so you raise them as high as possible. In any event, all of this, wherever you are, chutz to the Beis HaMikdash, where you raise it to the shoulder level, or in the Beis HaMikdash, where everybody raises it above the heads, except possibly the Kohen Gadol. So this is all based upon the pasuk, Shenemar, but you saw around Aharon is Yodav, Elo'om Vayivorachem, that Aharon raises his hands, Nisiyas Kapayim, and just like Aaron did that, so all the Kohanim for future generations raise their hands for the duchening. Okay, that's the Mishnah. We begin the Gemara. Gemara is going to go and discuss in great detail many of the dinim of duchening. Tanu Rabban, we start off by quoting the following Brisa. Pasuk tells us Daber el Aron ve'el banov le'mor ko sivarchu es b'nei Yisrael and more lahem. So this pasuk is going to be darshan in great detail. So we start off by saying the words ko sivarchu teach us b'loshon hakodesh. Now we're going to have many times this drasha of ko sivarchu. This is the way you shall bless the people. And then we're going to question: is that really the way, or is there another way? And then we bring another pasuk that teaches us yes, that is the correct way. So we're going to find this pattern throughout. And why do we need the words Kol Sivarchu if we have another pasuk? So is to teach us that this is the right way to darshan Kol Sivarchu, and we have raya's to it from other psukim. So in any event, the first drasha is Kol Sivarchu. This is the way you shall bless Klal Yisrael for all future generations. B'loshon HaKodesh has to be in Hebrew, as we learned already previously in the Masechta. Where question is this? Ah, told me B'loshon HaKodesh. Oh, ain't no eloquent loshon. You're telling me it has to be in Hebrew, but maybe it's not. Maybe it could be in any Lashon. Maybe it could be in English. If you live in America, you can duchen in English. No. So the Gemara tells us, Ne'emar kan ko sivarchu. It says over here, by Aaron HaKohen, ko sivarchu. Ne'emar lahalon, ele yamdu levarich esa'om. And it says by Hagrizen and Har Evol, that the following people will stand and go and bless the people. Now, this is the brachos and the klolos on Har Grizim, and we know that that is b'loshon hakodesh. So, ma lahalam b'loshon hakodesh, there as we darshan down, the brachos on Har Grizim, Har Evel had to be in Hebrew, so too afkan b'loshon hakodesh. So too over here, the duchening has to be b'loshon hakodesh. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. Rav Yehuda disagrees. As Rav Yehuda disagreed in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda had darshaned the word ko sivarchu as telling us that it must be in Hebrew, just like he had darshaned elsewhere, the word ko is being satisfying. The requirement to be just like this, as opposed to the chachamim who disagree between ko and kocha, as we learned previously. In any event, Rav Yehuda Omer, Eino Tzarek, you don't need this gzeir shav over here of ko sivarchu, because he says, hare hu Omer ko. It says the word ko, which implies, achi yomer b'loshon hazeh. You have to say it just like this. You don't need the word kocha to teach us it must be ma'akev to do it this way. Rav Yehuda holds, as we had learned previously, and he holds over here too, that just the usage of the word ko teaches us that it is ma'akev. Tanida, we have another braisa again, darshdin ko sivarchu es b'nei Yisrael. What does this teach us? Bamida, that it must be done in a standing position. So again, we question this. Atomer b'amida, oeinu ela afilu b'yeshiva. You're telling me that duchening has to be done while you're standing up. But maybe, in fact, it can be done even while you're sitting down. So again, we use a xer shava. Nemar kan ko sivarchu, and nemar lahalon eli yamdu levarech. So we again darshed it out from the psukim of Har Grizim and Har Evel, and just like the Kos of Aruch over here is directly related to the Gzeir Shav, the Kos of Aruch over there, and just like it says over there, that Eile Yamdu Levaruch, that the brachos must be done standing up, so Mala Halam Bamida, just like over there, by Har Grizim and Har Evel, it must be while they're standing, so Avkan Bamida, so too, in the Kohen Duchen, it must be also standing. Here, Rabbi Nassin Omer, Enotzar, here Rabbi Nassin is the one that says it's not necessary to use this Gzeir Shav. Why? Har Yomer, Lisharso, Levarech Bishmo. We have a pasuk that tells us that Ba'es Ha'hi Hivdil Hashem Eshevet HaLevi Lo Seis Esarom Bris Hashem La'amod Lifnei Hashem L'shar Yisro U'Levarech Bishmo Ad Yom Hazeh. So the pasuk tells us that you must be doing the avoda L'shar So while you are standing. So it tells us over there Ma Mishoris Bamida, just like a person who's doing the avoda must do it in a standing position. If you do the avoda while you're sitting down, you're not Yotze. So too Af Mivarech Bamida. So too the blessing of Klai Yisro by the Kohanim has to be done while in a standing up position. Now how do we know that Mishoris over there meant that it must be in a standing position? Mishoris gufo minolad, because dichsev la'amod lishares, because the pasuk tells us elsewhere ki bo bochar Hashem elokecha mikol shvatecha la'amod lishares. So therefore, when it says levarach bishmo ada yom hazeh, it must be talking about in the standing position. So too over here, the kohenim have to duchen in the standing position according to Rabbi Nassim, and you don't need the connection to the psukim by Har Grizim and Har Evol. Now, why didn't he want to use the Gzeir Shava? So Rashi explains, because Mishum Depir Chole, he had a problem with the Gzeir Shava, and therefore he wants to instead bring it from this drasha of La'amod L'Shares. While I'm here, I'm pointing out that the Tosfos Yehuda says, why didn't he want to use the word Ko? Why don't the Chacham use the word Ko? Avol Rabbanu Lo Mashmilu Ikuva Ko Ela Kocha. As I pointed out, this is where I got it from. The Tosfos says, Ko and Kocha are two different things. According to Yehuda, they're not. Top Tosu says an interesting question. Instead of making the Gzeir Shava of Beirachta to Har Grizim and Har Evol, why don't we make it to Yochalta Visavata Uveirachta by benching, which could be said B'chol Lashem? So why are you telling me that it must be in Hebrew? compare it to benching. So Tosos answers at the top. Tosos Yesh Lomar the Mistaver Le Tfei Lebelaf Birchas Kohanim and Birchas Hagrizim. It makes more sense to compare it to Hagrizim and Har Eval rather than to benching, because Dishtei and Mefurish B'Torah, their brachos are specified specifically in the Torah. The brachos Atzma Nami Mefuroshos Shoya Hefech HaKlolos. The brachos, while they're not specifically all stated, they're all the exact opposite of the klolos, and therefore it makes sense. The duchening is specifically stated, so it makes sense to compare something specifically stated to something specifically stated rather than Avoloshem Birchos Hamazom Einam Mefureshes B'Torah. Just as Yochalta V'Savata Uvirachta, but it doesn't tell us the specifics of what that bracha should be. Okay, let's go weiter. Tanya, we have another braisa that says Kosev Aruchu, again teaching us that this Kosev Aruchu teaches us Benesias Kapayim. This teaches us that you have to go and raise your hands, as we had already pointed out in the Mishnah. Now, more questions. Is, Tomer Benesias Kapayim, Moeno Hela, Shlo Benesias Kapayim. Who says that the brachos of Dukkening have to be while you raise your hands? Yes, Aram did this, but who says that all future Dukkening has to be with raised hands? So again, Ne'amar Kan Kosev Aruchu. It says over here by the Dukkening Kosev Aruchu. Ne'amar Lahalav Yisro Aruchu Nesiyotav. And it says that Aaron, when he blessed the people, raised his hands. So this is essentially a binyanah that we see that Aaron blessed in this fashion. So we therefore say in all situations you go and bless in this fashion. However, this was problematic to Rav Yonason. As Tosu says, Kasha Leila Rav Yonason, Eino Loshon HaBraisa. This is not the actual words of the Braisa. However, what Tosus is telling us is Ela Loshon Pirish HaGemara. The Gemara is really saying this. And in fact, the Sifri has the gear, so Rav Yonason Omer, he's asking this as a question. In any event, Kashle Rav Yonason, this is problematic to Rav Yonason because he says, Ima Lahalan Kohen Gadol, Berosh Chodesh, Bavodas Tibur. When did we say over there that Aaron HaKohen went and blessed the people? That was talking about the Kohen Gadol, number one, and that was talking about on Rosh Chodesh, and that was talking about that he was doing a Avoda for the Tzibur. So therefore, we should make the comparison only in all situations, Avkan, that Duchening has to be with the Kohen Gadol, has to be only on Rosh Chodesh, and has to be an Avoda Tzibur. So why are you saying that this is compared to Duchening at all times? So therefore, Rav Yonason didn't like this drasha. And therefore, the Gemara brings down Rabbi Nosson Omer a different reason why we know that the Kohanim have to duchen. Eino Tzarich, he says, it's not necessary to have this Gezer Rishava that we just schlugged up. So he says, Hari Omer, who uvanov kolayabim. The rest of that pasuk says that Aaron HaKohen should do this, but also his children for all generations. So mekish bonov lo. So the bonim, his children, are mekish to him. The hekish goes as follows. Mahu b'nesias kapayim. Just like Aaron has to raise his hands during nesias kapayim, av bonov b'nesias kapayim. So too his children have to go raise their hands during nesias kapayim. And it says uksiv kolayabim to teach us that this has to be done at all times, not just on Rosh Chodesh and not just in Devoz at Tzibur. The iskish bracha l'sheris. And we make the connection, as we just did in the previous baisa, between the bracha and service, and therefore that's why the kohanim have to go and raise the hands during duchening. Finally, another braisa of Etani Yidach, the brother braisa tells us, Kosev Aruchos Bnei Yisrael, again, this teaches us, B'Shem HaMeforish, that you have to use the shame Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the word again questions this, Ato, maybe B'Shem HaMeforish, maybe not, Oein Oelo B'Kinoi, maybe you should use the shame Aleph Dalet Nun Yud as the pronunciation. So again, we darshed out as follows, Tamad Lomer, V'Somu Es Shemi, my name, that implies Shmi HaMiyuchad Lo, the Shema HaMiyuchad, Yud Kei Vav Kei, pronounced as it is written. Now, I might think Yochel Af Begulon Kei. So, once we were taught that Duchening in the Beis HaMikdash is done with the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Shem HaMeforish, so maybe when the Kohanim Duchen, even outside the Beis HaMikdash, they should use the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei and not use the Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So, that's not correct, the word says. Ne'amar Kan V'Somo Shmi. It says over here, you shall take my name, place my name. The Ne'amar Lahalon Losum Es Shemo Shom L'Shichno Sidushu Uvasa Shama. That's the end of the pasuk, which is critical. And you will do it over there. Ma'alahal and Beis HaBechira, just like there, it's only talking about in the Beis HaMikdash. So too, by Duchening, we only say the Yud Kei Vav Kei in the Beis HaMikdash, but not B'Medina. Avkan B'Beis HaBechira, and not in the Medina. Rav Yosha has a different teretz. Rav Yosha Omer, Eino Tzarich, says you don't need this drasha that we just made. He says, Hareyu Omer, Bechol HaMakom, Asher Aski Reshmi, Ovo Elecha. It says, wherever you will mention my name, then I will come to you. When we mention HaKodesh Baruch Hu's name, Hashem comes to us. Now, Bechol Makom Salkadaych, does that mean that you're allowed to say the Shem of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, whenever you want to? Elo Mikrazeh Mesorosu. This pasuk is actually chopped up and should be dashed in the following way. Bechol Makom Asher Ovo Elecha Uvirachticha. I will come to you and bless you, Shom Askir Shmi. There, you can mention the Shem Yudke Bavke in the Beis HaMikdash, where Hashem comes to us, so to say, so then, allowed to say the Shem Yudke Bavke. However, the Heichon Ovo Elech V'Rachticha, that's only Bebeis HaBechira. However, Shom Askir Shmi Bebeis HaBechira, only there are you allowed to say the Shem Yudke Bavke. Any place else where you are beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have the right to use the Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, but you don't have the right to use the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. And of course, this is Halacha L'Maaseh. We don't ever pronounce the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Nowadays, Meher Yomeinu, with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, will hear the Kohanim pronounce the Shem HaMeforash Yud Kei Vav Kei Bimhera B'Yomeinu. The Braisa continues, Tanya Yidach, another Braisa, Kos Baruch Hu Bnei Yisrael, Ein Li'el Bnei Yisrael. This teaches us that the Kohanim have to go and bless Bnei Yisrael. How do we know that this includes Gerim, converts, Noshim, women, Avodim, Mishuchrorim, freed slaves? How do we know all of these are also, there's an obligation on the Kohanim to go and bless them, Minayin? So again, Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk tells us, Amor Lohem, at the end of the Pasuk of Kos Baruch Hu Bnei Yisrael, it says Amor Lohem, which implies to all of Klal Yisrael, Lekulu. Another Braisa says, Tani Yidach, Kos Baruch Hu. The pasuk tells us that this is the way you have to go and bless the people. So ponim kineged ponim, which implies just like when you're talking to another person, you face them. So the kohanim have to face the tzibur, and the tzibur has to face the kohanim. More questions: this ah tomer ponim kineged ponim. Oh, no, el ponim kineged arif. Maybe the kohanim have to face the people, but if the people want, they can be turned around. They shouldn't be facing the kohanim. They shouldn't look at the kohanim. They should turn away. Their backs should be to the kohanim. So the Gemara tells us, no, that's incorrect. Tamalama omor lohem. You have, a, so to say, a conversation. When you're speaking with somebody, you speak face-to-face. You are both facing each other. So too, when the Kohanim are giving the bracha to Klai Yisrael, they should be facing Klai Yisrael, and the Klai Yisrael should be facing them. Like a person saying to his fellow friend. Finally, Tanya Yidach, another brayso, the last brayso in the series, it says, Kosev Aruch Hu, it means that it has to be done b'kol rom, out loud. Maybe not, Gemara says. Oweinu el belachish. How do we know that it means b'kol rom? Maybe it means belachish. So again, Talmud Omar, Omor lohem ke'odam shomer lechaveru. When one person is speaking to another person, he doesn't whisper. He talks to him in a normal voice, b'kol rom, in a raised voice. So therefore, the duchening has to be also, the Kohanim have to say all the words out loud. Gemara continues, Omar Abaye Abaye says, Nikatina, we have a Masorah, we have a tradition, Lishnayim kore Kohanim, Le'echot eno kore Kohen. When you're duchening in a shul, and there's only one Kohen going up, so then you don't call out Kohanim. However, when there are two or more Kohanim that go up to Duchen, so then either the Chazan himself, we'll talk about that in a moment, or somebody from the shul calls out Kohanim to invite them to go up in Duchen. Now, this is based upon the pasuk that we just had as well, Shenemar Omor Lohem. That implies you shall tell them in the plural. Lishnayim, you say this too, but not for Echad. What do we do? Halacha l'maisa. So certainly if there are two, then we call out Kohanim. Different places have different minhagim. Some have somebody specifically other than the Chazan calling it out because of the concern of being a hefsik if the Chazan does it. What others do to get around the hefsik situation is have the Chazan say quietly, and we get to the word Kohanim. He says that out loud, and therefore there is no hefsik, because that is part of the regular verses that he would be saying, so therefore it's not considered hefsek. If you only have one Kohen, that's a machlokus amongst the poskim. There are those that say, no, you don't call out Kohanim, not the Chazan, nor anyone else. Others suggest, no, Chazan should still go and say silently, Elokeinu Ke'avoseinu, he reaches the word Kohanim, he should say that out loud, because that's part of the regular part of the davening. In any event, we have Rav Chisda now telling us another din. Rav Chisda, Naktinam, we also have this Masorah, we have this tradition, that Kohen, Korei Kohanim, Vein Yisrael, Korei Kohanim, that Bedavka, it should be a Kohen that calls out to the other Kohanim, let's go in Duchen, and not a Yisrael calling out to them. And this is based upon the Pasuk, again, that we just said, Shenema, Omor Lohem, that implies Amira, and we turn to Lamatres Amidbeis, Mishel Lohem, Tehei, it should be one of you should be calling out to the others, let us go in Duchen, and not a Yisrael. How do we paskin? So we have these two statements of Abaye and Rav Chisda. We paskin like Abaye. Everybody agrees, certainly, if you have two Kohanim, you call them out. L'maisa, the Gemara says, if you only have one Kohen, you don't call Kohanim. And that is one of the opinions brought down in Shulchan Aruch. As I mentioned, the other one would be that, no, you still call out Kohanim and have the Chazan say the verse, Elkein v'kevosein, borchein v'brabachoy. He uses the word Kohanim. He says it out loud. It's not a problem. So the Gemara says we pass him like Abaye, and however, the law, the less Hilchah say, Kavosi the Rochista, but we don't pass him like the opinion of Rochista. We don't require a Kohen to call up Bedavka. Usually it is a Yisrael that goes, either the Chazan or somebody else in the Tzibur that calls the Kohanim to Duchen. Now we have a siman for the following number of members that Rabbi Shulman Levi is going to make. The siman is Misave Livrocha Duchan Baboda Kos Makir Nene and Be'egla. These are all the subject of the statements that Rabbi Shulman Levi is going to make, and we have this mnemonic to help us remember them. Again, it's a school to say out these mnemonics, as we mentioned many times, and also the mnemonics serve the practical purpose. The person is connecting all of these somewhat disparate statements all under the name of Shulman Levi, so this was a way to help him remember them. So we begin. Our Rabbi Shulman Levi. Rabbi Shulman Levi tells us, "Minayin shekodesh baruch hu misave lebirkas kohanim." That was the siman misave. How do we know that kodesh baruch hu kaviyochol desires a brachos? We know, of course, these are always anthropomorphisms that we use for kodesh baruch hu. Kodesh baruch hu does not have any physical desires. He doesn't have any emotional desires. These are terms that we use to help us understand a little inkling of what our kodesh baruch hu is, but we use this terminology misave not in a real sense, but in somewhat of a anthropomorphic sense. In any event, Rav Shimon Levi says, how do we know that a kodesh baruch hu, so to say, desires the birchas kanon to be done? Because the pasuk says, "Shenemar v'samu eshmi abnei Yisrael v'ani yevarchem." Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you'll say my name and I will go bless Klal Yisrael. So when you do the duchening, I will go and give the bracha through the kohanim to Klal Yisrael. Furthermore, Rav Shimon Levi called Kohen Shemivarech Misbarech Vishenu Mivarech Enu Misbarech. This is an exhortation to the Kohanim that if you go and bless the Jewish people, then you'll be blessed. But if you choose not to go and bless the Jewish people, then you will not be blessed. This is based upon what it says to Avram Avinu, Shnema Avarecha Mivarechecha, and I will go and bless those who bless you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Kohanim, if you bless Klal Yisrael, I will bless you. If you choose not to bless Klal Yisrael, and you could have, so then you will not be blessed. Furthermore, Rav Shimon Levi called Kohen Sheino Elo Leduchen Over Bishlosh Asay. If a Kohen chooses intentionally not to go in Duchen, he could have Duchen, he was there, he was no onus, there was no accident that prevented him from Duchening, and he chooses not to Duchen. So Rav Shimon Levi says he's over three Mitzvahs Asay. What are those three Mitzvahs Asay based upon the Pesukim? The first part says Kosev Aruchu, second part says Omor Lahem, third part says Somer Shemi. So this Kohen is derelict in doing these Mitzvahs Asay, these three Mitzvahs Asay, which is a terrible thing. He could have done it. Rav Amar, he adds, and he says, we also suspect that the person may not really be a Kohen, because if he's a real Kohen, why didn't he go up in Duchen? So Rav says, Choshishim, we have to be concerned over here that maybe he knows he's not a real Kohen. Shema ben Grusha, o ben Chalutzo, he actually is a Halal. His father, who was a Kohen, Nebuch married a divorcee, or married a Chalutzo. A divorcee, if he was to go marry, is on a Darais level, making him to a Halal, and a Chalutzo, the Kohen is not allowed to marry, albeit only on a Darabadi level, and either way, he is no longer a functioning Kohen, and he wouldn't be allowed to Duchen. So Rav says, if you see a Kohen choosing not to Duchen, in addition to being over these three mitzvahs to say, one has to suspect that there may be an underlying reason why he didn't go up to Duchen, and that is that he's not a Kosher or Kohen, he's a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza. Now, Rav added on to Rav Shulman Levi. He didn't say that Rav Shulman Levi is wrong. So the Gemara says, lo pligi, Rav and Rav Shulman Levi aren't arguing with each other. Ha, the solik leprokim. The opinion of Rav Shulman Levi that you're not concerned, we're not choshishin, so to say, that he's a ben grusha ben chalutza, is because he duchen sometimes, and he doesn't duchen other times. So he is demonstrating to us that he is a kosher kohen. Unfortunately, he, for whatever the reason, has chosen not to duchen, and he's over those three asays. So that's what Rishu Levi is talking about, a person that duchens alternatively sometimes and sometimes not. So how does Solik the problem? He does go up and duchen sometimes, so we're not concerned, we're not choshish that he's not really a valid Kohen. We're not concerned that he's a cholo, then grusha, then chalutza. Whereas Rav says, if we never see this Kohen go up and duchen, then how the low Solik the problem? He never goes up to duchen, so then you really have to suspect that his lineage is really not what it's said to be, and he's really not a kosher Kohen. Rav Yoshua Levi continues and says, "Vam Rav Shimon Levi called Kohen Sheino Ole Ba'avoda. If a Kohen chooses not to go up during the Ritzei, during the Avoda, to go in Duchen, Shuv Eino Ole. It's too late. Once they finish the bracha, Hamachzir Shkinoso Litzion. So then, if he hasn't started to go up, as we'll see, it means he hasn't started to go up. He doesn't have to actually be up at the Duchen. But if he hasn't started to go up, so then if the Chazan is reached." The end of the bracha of Modim, the end of the Avoda, Hamachzir Shchinaso Litzion, so then he can no longer go up. And this is based upon a pasuk as well. Shenemar, Vayisa Aaron es Yodav El Ha'om, we had this pasuk earlier, Vayirachem, Vayirid Miasos Hachatos, Ve'olo, Ve'ashlamim. So it had to be at the beginning of the Avoda. But if the Avoda was concluded, it's too late to go up. Malahal and Bavoda, there is Aaron, that's the people during the Avoda, so too, Avkam Bavoda, you have to go up during the Avoda, which is again the bracha of Ritzei. More questions, is really Ini? Well, so you're Maisa Shahaya, two great Kohanim, Ravami and Ravasi, first generation Amoraim from Eretz Yisrael, Tamidu Rav Yochanan. They were Kohanim, and yet they didn't seem to go up right away. For Ravami and Ravasi, sulky.
these two great Amorayim seemed to wait till the end of the Avodah, till the end of Ritzei, and only then went up. So how can you tell me that it's too late to go up? The Gemara says, no, you misunderstood what they did. Ravani v'ravasi meikara havu akre karayu. But mimta lo havi matu hosum. As soon as they started Ritzei, Ravami and Ravasi started to go up, but they didn't want to not listen to the bracha carefully. So they started to go up to show their intention to go in Duchen. Then they waited until they heard the entire bracha, so they could concentrate on the bracha. But, therefore, Mimta, to go up, Lo Havimatu Hasam, they didn't yet go up, but they started to go up, so they were Yotze, this idea that you have to start to go up during the Avodah. And this is based upon what Rav Oshaya said. Utchidhani Rabbi Oshaya, what did Rav Oshaya teach us in the following brisa? Lo Shonu Ela Shelo Okar Es Raglov, Aval Okar Es Raglov Ola. When we said that the Kohanim have to go up before the end of Ritzei, they have to start to go up before the end of Ritzei. As long as they started to go up before the end of Ritzei, even though they didn't reach the Duchen, the place where they're going to actually do the Duchening, until after the Bracha is concluded, that's not a problem. And that's what Rav Ami and Rav Asi did. And likewise, we have a Mishnah that says the same thing. It's not Nami. Im haftachoso shenosi es kapo v'chozi l'tviloso. Dealing here with the Chazan. There's a whole big question. Can the Chazan be a Kohen on a day that there's Duchening? And Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, this is a Shiloh all the time. The Chazan is an Ovel and he's a Kohen. So what should he do? He's saying, Davening is the Shliach Tzibur, and what's he supposed to do for Duchening? So many Paskin that he's allowed to go up and leave his place, especially today where we daven from Sidurim, there's no concern that he'll lose his place. So he can actually just move a little bit, move slightly, and this way he fulfills this idea that you have to go up towards the Duchen, and then actually Duchen from where he is, and therefore he can still be the Chazan. Others disagree and say that if there is a choice, if there are other Kohanim, so it's better that the Chazan, not Duchen, if he is the Chazan, and just be part of the Tzibur. In any event, what the Mishnah tells us, this is a Mishnah that we have in Brachos, that if he is certain, if the Chazan is certain, that he's able to go in Duchen, and go back to the Chazaras HaShatz, and not lose his place, again, when they didn't have a sitter, they're doing everything by heart. It's easy, much easier to get confused. But here, we're dealing with Siddurim, it's usually not a problem. So if he's certain that he's not going to lose his place and be able to go back to the Chazar Sashatz, Rashai, he's allowed to go up in Duchen. Aye, Vavinu Bo, we asked, Halo Okar, but the Chazan didn't move his legs. So he said, you have to move your legs a little bit to go up in Duchen. As long as you move your legs a little bit, you're Okar Raglov at the sometime before the conclusion of the Bracha Ritzei. Now, the Chazan Mustama didn't move his legs, so how could he go up? So Gemara says, Elo, Dinod Purta. He moved a little bit. He didn't necessarily remove his legs from the position where they were, but he just moved a little bit. He was Nod Purta. And therefore, Hochanami, the Okar Purta. So too, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, they did like the Chazan. He just moved a little bit. So too, Rav Ami and Rav Asi just moved a little bit. And therefore, they were Yotzi, this idea that you have to move towards the Duchen sometime before the conclusion of the Bracha of Ritzei. Now we conclude with another statement of Yeshua Belevi. Yom Yeshua Belevi, ain't nostin koshel bracha levarech. We don't give the kos of birchas hamazon to the person to be mevarech. You have three people that ate together to be mezumin, so ideally you should bench ala kos. This is one of those dinim that is more observed in the breach than it is in fact. It is brought down in Shulchan Aruch that even if you're benching alone, a person is allowed to go and bench ala kos. And certainly it is brought down that ideally if you're benching with three people, you should bench ala kos. And again, there are reasons and explanations as to why we're not medactic on this, but the bottom line is it certainly is acceptable and certainly allowed for a person to daven a la kos, to say the birchas hamazon, the one who's leading the zimun, a la kos at all times. So, when you have three people there, who do you decide to give it to? So, Shimon Levi said, "In nosdim kos shel bracha levarech ella letov ayin." You don't choose to give the kos shel bracha to somebody to go and lead the benching on it, unless he's a generous person. Tov Ayin is the opposite of Tsar Ayin. He's a generous person as opposed to a miserly person. So you should give it to somebody who's a generous person, because the pasuk says, Shenemar, Tov Ayin hu yivorach, kinosan min lachlo ladol. This is a pasuk for Mishle, which tells us that if a person is a generous person, he's a Tov Ayin, he has a good eye, so he will become blessed. That's what the pasuk says, hu yivorach, because he's giving from his bread to the poor person. So therefore, he's doing such a nice chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless him. So if we play on the words, don't read the word Al Tikre Yivorach, he shall become blessed, Ella Yivorech, he should be the one that should lead the Zimun. Now we get to the next simon in the mnemonic, Minayin Shafilu Ofos Makirin. This was the Makir simon. Minayin Shafilu Ofos Makir Mitzari Ayin. Even the birds recognize a person who's stingy. What do we see? That the opposite of the Tov Ayin, the person who's a stingy person, is a miserly person, even the birds stay away from him. Where do we see this from? Because the Pasuk in Mishlei also tells us, Shenemar, Kichinom Mizorah HaReshes B'Einei Kol Baal Kinof. it is going to be of no benefit for chinam. It's going to have no benefit for you to go and put seeds into the trap when you're trying to trap the birds, because even the birds will know that you're a stingy person. How does this exactly work? So Rashi brings down, he says, so the earlier psukim, we're dealing over here with a stingy person. And therefore, it says, he's going to waste his time, so to say, putting the seed into the bird trap in order to trap the birds, because it was the practice of the trappers of the birds, they would go and put wheat and barley into the traps to entice the birds to come in, and then the trap would close. Kadesh Yavo Ovus Lechol, and the birds would come in, eat from the wheat and the barley, and be trapped. However, the Elu Tsari Ha'ayin, these people who are very stingy and miserly, Chinam Ma'adim Mizonos, they would, so to say, waste their time by putting out the seeds. Why is that? Because the birds recognize that there's very, very little seed over there, and they won't really get any benefit from there. They put out so little that the birds basically are going to say it's not worth it to go inside this area. They're a little bit nervous. Maybe this is a trap. They must recognize something, and therefore they only see a very small amount of seed, because the guy's a stingy guy. He doesn't want to waste his seed, so to say. So therefore, he won't even be successful in trapping the birds. Others suggest another interesting idea, and that is that you want to get the birds used to coming to that area. So before you can put them in the trap, you have to just waste some seed to get the birds familiar to come to that area, and therefore they won't be concerned about going into the trap because they're used to coming there. So the stingy person doesn't want to waste his seed by putting it out there with zero chance of trapping the birds because he doesn't put it into the trap. So he just puts it into the trap, and the birds are wary, and therefore he's wasting his time, so to say. No bird is going to be trapped because he's a stingy person. Okay. Gemara continues and tells us another statement from Rishuben Levi. Call over. If a person goes and benefits from a tzorayin, from a miserly person, he's going to be over a lav, because he's essentially going to be stealing from the person, because when the person gives him something, he's giving it to him very begrudgingly, and therefore he doesn't really want to give it. And therefore, when you take it from that person, you're essentially stealing from that person because he really didn't give it with a full heart. So therefore, somebody shouldn't go and benefit from a miserly person, from a very stingy person, because the guy really doesn't mean to give it to you, and when you take it from him, you're almost like you're stealing over Balat. And this is based upon a pasuk as well that we have in Mishlei, where it says, Shnema, Al tilcham es lechem ra oyin v'gomer. Don't go and take the bread of this stingy person. Ki kimo shar b'nafsho ken hu echol u'shesei yom aloch v'gomer. Because he's a stingy person. And when he says, oh sure, would you like some food? He doesn't really mean it. And therefore, he's basically not giving it, and therefore you're basically stealing it when you take it. Rav Nachman Yitzchak adds, and he says, Omar, over b'shtei lavim, you're over two lavim over here, not just stealing, but al tilcham v'al tisaf. There are two words in the pasuk over here, al tilcham, don't take his bread, and then it also says, al tisaf, don't be desiring his various food and delicacies that he's going to give you. And the word altisav, we didn't read it. It wasn't in the Gemara, but the full pasuk is altilcham eslechem ra ayin. And then we have the vagomer and the altisav levmat amosav. That's the second lav that Rav Nachman Yitzchak brings down. The Gemara didn't quote the full pasuk, but here is the full pasuk. Okay. Then we have the last simon that Rav Shulman Levi said. Am Shulman Levi ein eglo arufa. The whole din of Egla Rufa, when they find the dead body and they don't know who killed the person, they measure it out to see which city it's closest to, and then they do the entire Egla Rufa process. Again, the Targum Yonasim Nazil says that this was also a miracle, that when they killed the Egla Rufa, the blood from the Egla Rufa would actually go and lead itself towards the person who committed the murder. So it actually was a way to solve the murder, not just a ritual that the Torah describes. In any event, this whole Egla Rufa process, you don't do this in Egla Rufa ba, ela bishvil tzori ayin. The whole purpose that an Egla Rufa unfortunately has to be brought, that somebody got killed, is all because of stingy people. It must have been that this person was a poor person, or he didn't have any food with him, and nobody from the city gave him food, and nobody from the city escorted him out, and therefore he ended up having to kill somebody to try to get some food and money. So therefore, it was the stingy people, by not giving the poor person food, that caused a murder to occur. And that's what the pasuk tells us. Shenemar, V'anu v'amru yodeinu lo shavchu es hadam hazeh. The Ziknei Ha'ir have to go and say, we didn't kill this person. His blood is not upon our hands. Now, it says, would anybody really think that it was? V'chi alibeinu also, did it really enter our hearts? Sheziknei beistin shavchi damim heim, that they actually killed this guy, that they have to go and state, we didn't kill this guy? Ella, what the pasuk is telling us is lo bo liyodenu upitrunuhu. He didn't come to us, and we sent him away without giving him food. Lo rinuhu vanachtunuhu, and we didn't see him and just let him go without getting any food. Lo bo liyodenu upitrunuhu below mazonas, and we didn't go and not give this person any food or any help, and that's what led him to go off and murder. Lo renu vinachtu below lavoya, and we did not escort him out. So therefore, the basin is basically saying there was somebody here that was stingy, not us. If we had seen him, we would have taken care of him. But since there were stingy people around that did not take care of him, so therefore, that's why Rachmana Litzlan, this murder occurred. And therefore, as Rishuba Levi said, ain't egg la rufa ba ela b'shul tzorei ayin. The whole reason that this murder occurred was because there were stingy people. Now the Gemara says, "Amar Ada, Amar Rabbi Simloi, Beis Haknesses Shekula Kohanim Kulon Olin Leduchen." If you have an entire Beis Haknesses that only has Kohanim, so the Cohen family is having a weekend get together, and all of their members of the family are Kohanim, so then in that situation, you have the ability to have all the Kohanim go up to Duchen, and they're not Duchening to anybody. There is no Tzibur there because there are no Yisraelim. So when it says, the obvious question, Mimu Varkum, so who are they giving the blessing to? So Amar Rav Zeira says, L'chayim Shebesodos. They're giving the bracha to all of Klai Yisrael that's out in the fields, that's not in their shul, for whatever the reason, aren't at that minyan, and therefore they're giving the bracha to them. More questions, is this really allowed? Ini? Vatani, Abba Brei, the Rav Binyamin Barchia. Abba, who was the son of Rav Binyamin Barchia, had learned, Am Shachori Kohanim Einon Bechlal Bracha. The people that are outside are not included in the bracha. You want the bracha of the Kohanim during Duchening, you have to be in the shul. If you're outside the shul, you don't get the bracha. So how can we say here, Ada, in the name of Rav Simloi, that Beksnesis is full of Kohanim, the Kohanim will go up to Duchen, and they're giving the bracha to the people that are outside. Le'achem Shebesados. It doesn't work. That's what Abba, Braid, the Rav Binyamin Baruch Hiya, taught us. Shemor says, no, it's not a problem. Lo kasha. Why? Ha danise, ha de lo anise. It depends. If the people were intentionally staying outside, they could have gone to shul and they're sitting inside, outside instead of coming into the shul. So you're right, then they don't get the bracha. But if these people, unfortunately, couldn't come to shul, they had to daven an early meeting, they're no kohanim, whatever the reason, they couldn't make it to shul, they had to go out to work. So then the bracha of the kohanim goes upon them as well because they were not in the shul because of an ones, and therefore the bracha goes upon them. However, Vatani Rav Shimi mi Birta de Shichori. However, Rav Shimi, who came from a place called Birta de Shichori, the capital of a place called Shichori, he taught us the following. Beis HaKnesses Shekula Kohanim Miktsasin Olin Miktsasin Onim Ame. Here he disagrees with what we just brought down, and he taught in the Braisa that if they're all Kohanim, some of the Kohanim go up, and the rest of the Kohanim stay there to receive the bracha. So what's going on? It seems to be a stira. Of course, it's not a stira. Lokasha, hodi ishtayir be'asara, hodilo ishtayir be'asara. When we say that the Kohanim go up in Duchen, is if you have still 10 Kohanim left to go answer Amen to the bracha. That's considered an important sibur. So if you have 15 Kohanim, let 5 go up in Duchen, let 10 stay behind, and not a problem. In that situation, the Kohanim don't all go up in Duchen. But if you only have 10 Kohanim, and that's the entire minyan, and if one of them goes up to Duchen, you're not going to have a tzibur behind, so then better let all 10 Kohanim go up in Duchen, because you don't have a, quote, tzibur there for them to give the bracha to, and we say it goes on to Achayim Shebesados. So it's going anyway on those other people, because you don't have a significant tzibur left here in the shul, so therefore, better let all 10 go up. Now, the Bir Halacha does bring down in Shulchan Aruch that why isn't this a problem of the Kohanim not going up to Duchen? How are they allowed to stay behind and let the other Kohanim go up to Duchen? If there's 10 Kohanim that can stay behind and 5, let's say, go up in Duchen, what about those 10? How come they're not over the Aseis that we pointed out that they have to go in Duchen? So the Bir Halacha suggests that if you don't have any Yisrael there, so then technically there is no Chiyav Midaraisa to go in Duchen. It would only be a Mitzvah Derabbanan. And therefore, it's not a problem. They're not over those Aseis if there is no Chiyav Daraisa to go up there in Duchen. But he leaves it with a Tzarechi in any event. Now, let's go back and reanalyze this last din gufa. Whenever we have gufa, it means we're going to quote what we just learned. So, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Abba Brei de Rav Binyamin Barchia said, Am Shachori Kohanim, Einam Chal Bracha. The people outside aren't included in the Bracha. As we had explained, that's when they were free to have come in, but they didn't. Now, he then adds in the following Braisa, the rest of the Braisa continues, Pshita, it's clear and obvious to us, Arichei Ba'ape Gutze. If you have a tall person in the first row, a Yisrael, And then you have a shorter person in the second row. So he's not being considered blocked by the taller person. Lo mafsiki. We don't say that the tall person blocks it, and therefore the shorter person in the second row isn't getting the bracha of duchani. That's not considered achori beis haknesses. And likewise, if there is some sort of a bima, the teva is there, so the people behind the teva also lo mafsiko. That's not considered an interposition, a blockage between the kohanim and them, that they're considered achori beis haknesses. However, what happens if there's a mechitza? Mechitza mai. So let's say a person is in the lobby and he can hear the Kohanim Duchen and he says, I'm fine over here. I'll stay out over here and I'll listen to the Kohanim Duchen. I'll get the bracha, even though there's a mechitza, there's a door, there's some sort of mechitza. Or the women in the women's section, there's a mechitza. So does the bracha of the Kohanim go to them as well? So it brings us an answer from Rav Shimon Levi. Toshma, to Rav Shimon Levi. Rav Shimon Levi said, Afilu mechitza shabarzel, enam avsekes ben Yisrael le'avim shemayim. This is a famous idea of the iron curtain, this mechitza shabarzel. Even if there's an iron curtain, it doesn't separate Kai Yisrael from their father in Shemayim. So therefore, if there's a mechitza there, and you're intending to listen to the Berichas Kohanim, that's not considered a hefsek, that's not considered your achorei beis haknesses. This whole idea of the mechitza shabarzel, of course, all of us growing up with the iron curtain of the Soviet Union, so we understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was never separated from his people. Look at how many people that were essentially learning nothing of Torah, knew nothing of Yiddishkeit under the iron curtain, yet nevertheless, they were connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Baruch Hashem today, so many of them are Shomer Torah mitzvahs. Gemara asks another question. So you have a shul, the Kohanim go up to the Duchen, and the people that are directly in front of them, certainly they're Yotzi. But what happens if the shul is a big shul, and there's room on the right and then room on the left, not directly in front of the Kohanim? So are all those people obligated to move in front of the Kohanim, or are they allowed to stay on the Tzadim? That's the Gemara's question. If the Kohanim are in the front, so anybody that's directly opposite them will of course be blessed. But what about the people on the sides? So Abba Mar Bar Ravashi, who was the son of Ravashi, said, Tashma, bring your raya from the following mission, this mission in Parah, where it says that's not Niskavein Lahazos Lafon. When a person's sprinkling the Paraduma and sprinkling on day 3 and day 7 post Tumas Meis situation, and he's becoming tar, so if he intended to sprinkle on utensils that were in front of him, so he's taking the Ezov and he sprinkles the Mechatas on the items that are in front of him, but, and we turn to Lamed Tesamud Aleph, as he's thrusting forward, some of it also goes backwards, on the backswing, so to say, and there are utensils over there, or a person over there, that now has had the mechata sprinkled on him. So does that count or not? Or vice versa, Liachorov, he was planning on doing the hazah on the utensils or person behind him, and instead, vizalafonim, and some of it also unintentionally went in front of him. So in this situation, the Mishnah Parva tells us, hazah also psula. It's not a valid hazah. However, if he was intending to sprinkle lefonov, vihizo al tzadin, and some of it went off to the side, where there were kelim that needed to be having the mechatas on them, so he's al tzadim sheh b'fanav. It's on the sides that are in front of him, not behind him at all. So then hazah also ksheru. So if it's off to the side, the hazah of the mechatas is kosher. So too, we learn from here that in fact, at the kohanim, when they give their bracha, the people standing on the side are also fulfilling the idea of being there in front of the kohanim for duchani, even though they're off to the side and they're not considered achori beis haknesses, and the bracha will go upon them as well. Some people are makbid, they try to be directly in the line of the kohanim if it's possible, but if, again, a shul is a large shul, you can't push everybody, compress everybody in, so then certainly the people off to the side are definitely yotzi as well. With this, we conclude today's shir.